Stay safe. That's become the new farewell phrase that we all use. A couple of months ago, I think that would have sounded pretty strange. If someone had said, stay safe, we would have asked, what? Am I in some kind of imminent danger or something? Now, safety has become a major concern. And that is the reason, in fact, we haven't been meeting in person, isn't it? It's the reason why now we're meeting outside so far away from each other. It's far from ideal, I've got to say, but I think it's better than watching our service on TV. At least it is for me, although you might like watching church from the sofa. As much as it's been good to be able to offer a live stream, it's so much better to get together. I was getting a bit tired of preaching to a camera. There is this newfound focus on safety, though. It impacts almost every area of our lives, from our worship to our work and beyond. And because of that, John 10 is a great passage to be preaching on this morning. These verses really are all about safety. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells us how to stay safe. He does this in two more of his I am sayings. In case you just joined us today, over the last few weeks, we've been working through these claims of Jesus in John's gospel. At various points, he makes these definitive statements, fundamental assertions about who he is and why he came. In John chapter 10, there are two such sayings. One is there in verse 7. Jesus says, I am the door. And then again in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. And as we'll see both this week and next, both of those describe different ways in which Jesus protects us and provides for us. And the one we're going to focus on today is that first one. It's a little bit more obscure. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the door of the sheep? Well, let me cut to the chase. Here is the main thing I believe Jesus means when he says that. This is the central point. If you forget everything else, please remember this life-changing truth. Faith in Christ is the only way to stay safe. Faith in Christ is the only way to stay safe. And that becomes clear as we consider two things. There are two main ways in which our text addresses this issue of safety that confronts us. Firstly, Jesus points us to the only safe place, the only safe place. And secondly, he provides the only safe path, the only safe path to that place. Jesus shows us where we will be safe, and he shows us how we can be safe. So let's dive right in and let's consider those two things together. Firstly, Jesus tells us about the only safe place. And the point here is that Jesus describes the only context in which you and I do not have to worry about danger. The only safe place is under God's protective care. And that comes out as we consider the central image Jesus uses in these verses. The main picture comes from the world of sheep farming. No doubt a world unfamiliar to most of us, but a world that would have been very familiar to Jesus' original hearers. At the time, sheep would graze out in the open field. In many places, they still do that today. And the shepherd is the one who would lead them out to pasture. During the daytime, the risk of predators was relatively low. But in the evening, however, the threat became very real. And so the shepherd would lead them back to the sheepfold, back to a place of safety. In the context of the first century, the sheepfold would be a large area. Often that sheepfold would house multiple flocks. The fold would be surrounded by a high stone wall, just like we're surrounded by cars here this morning. And on top of that stone wall, there would often be thorns and briars, the first century equivalent to a barbed wire fence. Inside, the sheep would be safe from danger, protected from whatever harm might befall them during the night. And this is the point. God provides such a place of safety to believers. In a world so full of danger, there is a safe place. In fact, almost in passing, Jesus speaks of that safe place when he refers to God's own sheepfold. Look down at verse 1. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheep, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. There we see a warning, of course, and we'll consider that in a moment. But let's pause and focus on Jesus' basic assumption. Using this figure of speech, Jesus is telling us that God does indeed have a sheepfold, a place where we can know his own protection and care, a place where all of the various threats we face in this life cannot reach us. And now this image of the sheepfold is one that we find in the Old Testament. Israel are described as God's flock, his special chosen people. And being within God's fold means to experience the safety of being a part of that flock, belonging to God. People sometimes speak of safety in numbers, and it is true. There is an element of spiritual safety in belonging to the church. It is one of the things that's been tough about being apart for so long, isn't it? We've lacked the usual encouragement and the usual accountability. Coming together today really does feel like coming back into the fold, although it's a little bit different from usual. The church is a safe place, or at least the church should be a safe place. But when Jesus speaks of God's sheepfold, he is talking about much more than just the church on earth. This isn't just a picture of the earth. Ultimately, it's a description of God's eternal heavenly kingdom. Scripture describes that kingdom in a range of different ways. It is the new Jerusalem. It is a new creation. It is a place without pain and suffering and heartache. It is a place with no more sickness, no more disease. And in the book of Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, it's described as a walled city, a place not only free from pain, but a place where evil cannot enter in. In other words, it is a sheepfold with strong stone walls designed to keep danger out. And wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing today if I could guarantee a COVID-free zone? Wouldn't it be amazing if we had a place where there's no more incessant hand washing, no more mask wearing, no more social distancing? That, of course, is what the world used to be like just a short time ago. But we shouldn't forget, before COVID-19, it's hardly as if the world was a perfect place. The recent protests and riots remind us of that. Whatever you think, there is no denying generations of prejudice, and there is pent-up anger and frustration, and we see it bubbling over. It's been there for a long time. And that, of course, is only one thing. The world is full of so many other seemingly insurmountable obstacles and challenges. In one sense, we live our lives in constant danger. Isaiah 24:18 captures the challenge we experience when it comes to staying safe in this world. In the context, Isaiah is talking about final judgment, but I think he describes perfectly the catch-22 of living life within this fallen world. He says this, "He who flees at the sound of terror shall fall into the pit, and he who climbs out of the pit shall be caught in the snare." Fleeing from one danger only seems to confront you with another. Do you want to get sick, or do you want to lose your job? It hardly seems like a choice. Life is basically one big calculated risk, isn't it? We can make that calculation wisely, or we can make it foolishly, but we have to make that calculation all the same. And here is the point. God promises a place where we don't have to make such a calculation, because he promises a place that is free from all danger. God has a safe place, and really it is the only safe place. Only God can keep us safe in this life as our sovereign Lord. And ultimately, only God can promise a safe place for eternity. And so then we've considered the only safe place, the safety of God's sheepfold. But let's move on to consider the only safe path. And the point here is to see this. Not only does Jesus reassure us that there is such a place, and no, his main concern in this passage is to show us how to get there. That really is the central thing. That is the main point of Jesus' third I am saying. As I've said before, these sayings demonstrate really one key point. All of these I am sayings ultimately add up to one thing. We discover in John's Gospel that Jesus is the only one who can meet our deepest needs. Jesus is the only one who promises real life. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. And now he says, I am the door. And what he means by that is, he is the only one who can provide us with safety and protection. As the door, he is the only way into the only safe place. He is the only way we can gain access to God's eternal sheepfold. Unless we go through him, there really is no hope. There is no other legitimate way of getting through. There is no other way to belong to God's people, no other way to gain entry into heaven. As Jesus says later on in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And essentially he's saying the same thing here, but using different terms. And that much is clear as we consider the contrast he draws between himself and every other so-called door, every other so-called option. Look at verse 7 again. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And then look at verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. When Jesus speaks of those who came before, he can't mean the Old Testament prophets like Moses or Isaiah. Elsewhere he says that those prophets were his sheep. They merely pointed the way to him. No, when Jesus speaks of those who came before, he's really speaking of anyone who claims to provide another way, another door, another path to safety. They are like thieves and robbers trying to climb in over the wall. They don't acknowledge the true door. They don't acknowledge me, says Christ. Nor do they offer you any protection. On the contrary, look down at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. When we pause for a moment, we realize Jesus is saying something truly astonishing. He's claiming to be the only way to God, the only way that you and I can get to heaven. And if that wasn't enough, do you see what he's saying about every other approach? Thieves and robbers coming to steal and kill and destroy, that applies to Confucius, to Buddha, to Muhammad, to the leaders of any other world faith, as well as perhaps your own favorite atheistic professor. It is no wonder that saying these kinds of things got Jesus killed. It was unpopular in the first century, and no doubt it is perhaps even more unpopular today. We live in a pluralistic, politically correct culture. The very suggestion that there is only one way to God, well, that is arrogant. It's absurd. Who are you to claim to provide the only way? Who are you to write off every other religion or every other thinker? And those criticisms seem perhaps valid until you understand the context in which Jesus speaks. Jesus doesn't just make this statement at random. No, he's addressing a specific situation. He's responding to an argument he's just had with the religious leaders back in chapter 9. Jesus has just broken one of their religious rules by healing a man on the Sabbath day. And that encounter exposes one of Jesus' main criticisms of those religious leaders. Those religious leaders put themselves in the place of God. They made up their own rules about how to be right with God. They excluded people simply because those people didn't meet their own self-made religious expectations. Those religious leaders, the Pharisees, were smug and self-righteous. They were arrogant in insisting on their own way, down to the finest detail. If you ask them, I'm pretty sure they would claim to be the door, or at least to have the keys to the door to heaven. But, says Jesus, no, you're wrong. You are just thieves and robbers trying to take advantage. You are not the door. I am the door. The only way to safety is to turn from your man-made rules and come to God through me. You see, the Pharisees laid out all kinds of rules and regulations. For them, the way to be right with God was to be a good person, to check all of the right religious boxes. In one sense, almost every religion works that way, and maybe many non-religious worldviews work this way too. The door they provide, the path that they prescribe for us, is to do the right things, or perhaps to know the right things, or to have the right experiences. And whether they promise heaven or some form of enlightenment, the premise is basically the same. If only you follow their wisdom or their rules, then everything will be okay, you'll be safe. And it is this very kind of arrogance that Jesus is taking them to task about when he calls them thieves and robbers. He's telling his disciples that rather than leading them away from danger, these kinds of religious teachers are actually the danger themselves. To rely on man-made rules or human wisdom to keep you safe is to put yourself in a very perilous situation, says Jesus. But we have to ask, how is Jesus at all different? How can he condemn them, the Pharisees, as being arrogant when he himself seems to do the same thing? Well, to know why Jesus isn't being arrogant, we need to understand something about the door that Jesus provides. It is categorically different from every other religion. You see, Jesus isn't just a man telling us man-made rules about God. No, Jesus is God who became man. He is the eternal Word made flesh. And remember, Jesus is really making that claim when he uses this special phrase, I am. He puts that in a special way. And when he does, he's taking on himself God's own name. In Jesus, God himself has come to earth. And he did this so that he himself could make a way back to him. a way that depends not on what we know or what we do or what we experience, but rather a way that depends on what he has done for us. That is why he is the only path to safety, because he alone addresses the most serious danger that confronts humanity. He alone addresses the danger caused by our sin. You see, again and again, the scriptures tell us that we are in danger. But we're in danger not only from a novel coronavirus, but we're in danger from something far more serious. Every single one of us rejects the God who made us. And no matter how good we might seem, we all try to live our lives our own way without God. There are, of course, religious rebels, and there are irreligious rebels, but none of us submits to God's loving care. And because of that rebellion, we are all subject to God's judgment. One day, all of us are going to have to give an account of our lives. One day, all of us are going to stand before God and explain the things that we thought and said and did in our lives. And let me say, none of us will really be able to stand on that day, will we? We have all done and thought and said things that we regret. Never mind have we lived up to God's perfect standard. And what that means is that we're in danger not just of death, but we're in danger of hell. But Jesus says, I am the door. Not I will show you the door. No, he says, I am the door. We usually make doors out of nails and wood, don't we? And we discover that Jesus made a door out of nails and wood as well. In fact, he himself became the door as he hung on the cross. On the cross, Jesus took the place of our undeserving rebellion. He bore our sin. He took the place of undeserving rebels. In our place, he bore the hell that we deserve. He alone has dealt with humanity's greatest threat. He has turned aside God's wrath from those who put their faith in him. At the very best, all other religions can offer teaching or inspiration. All they can do is lull you into a false sense of security, but Jesus Christ offers himself to us, not merely as a teacher, but no, he is the door. He is our Savior. I am the door, he says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Follow Buddha or Muhammad or any other teacher and you will end up paying for your own sins. But place your trust in Jesus Christ and you'll experience a place of peace, a place of safety, a place of security forever. As I said at the start, there is this new focus on safety, isn't there? And some of us perhaps find that annoying. Some of us wonder perhaps what all of the fuss is about. Others might be anxious. We're genuinely concerned about ourselves and our loved ones who are vulnerable. Perhaps our fears are only compounded by the fact that others aren't taking it seriously. When it comes to safety with respect to the coronavirus, I think it's fair to say there are certainly mixed responses. And the truth is, there are mixed responses to Jesus' warning too. When Jesus speaks of hell, of thieves and robbers, when he presents himself as the way, as the only way, well, there are plenty of people who couldn't care less. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you think it's all made up. Maybe you think it's all some kind of conspiracy designed just to manipulate people. Or at the very least, it's overblown. How could a good God send someone like me to hell? And if he would, then I'm not sure I want to believe in that kind of God anyway. On the flip side, as I speak of these things, some of us perhaps are filled with fear. The very idea that you will have to stand before a holy God one day is a very frightening prospect to you. And maybe your conscience is burdened by that very thought, and you know what you deserve in the end. The responses vary. Some of us take the threat seriously, some of us don't. But let me ask you, where do you stand when it comes to this question? Are you concerned about your safety when it comes to your relationship with God and where you'll spend eternity? Are you indifferent to this, or does your eternal safety concern you? If it does concern you, then what Jesus says in this text today should be great news. In his words, Jesus alleviates our fears and replaces them with hope and eager expectation. Jesus promises there is a place of safety, God's place of safety, God's sheepfold, the only place of safety. And in his love, Jesus Christ has made a way for us to get there. The only path to safety is to put your trust in him this morning. And what does that mean? Well, let me be clear. It doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, your life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you'll be immune from disease or from any other suffering. But what it does mean is this, that amid that pain, you will have a refuge. You'll be able to say with the psalmist, as he says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You have a refuge in Christ amid the trials of this life. And you have a refuge, hopefully as well, within the church, within God's family, within God's fold. But more than that, if you trust in Christ, you have a refuge that lasts for eternity. If you come to Christ, you gain entrance into the eternal sheepfold, into an eternity full of life and joy and free from pain and suffering. But all of that is open to you only if you come the right way, only if you enter through the door. Remember, that is the main point, isn't it? Faith in Christ is the only way to stay safe. Faith in Christ is the only way to stay safe. So let me ask you, are you safe this morning? Have you come to him? Have you put your faith in him? Have you entered through the door that God has provided? If not, then let me encourage you to do that even now. Come to him now and admit your need of him. Come to him now and admit the danger you are in without Jesus. Thank him for the cross. And on the basis of the cross, ask him now to forgive you. Ask him to welcome you into his flock, into his fold, not because of anything you have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. I am the door, says Jesus Christ. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the clarity with which Jesus speaks, and we pray that you'd help us all to understand what he says clearly this morning. And more than that, we pray that it would penetrate our hearts. We pray that you might cause each one of us to enter through the door, that we might be saved and know eternal life. Lord, I pray for specifically for anyone who's joined us or who is listening or tuning in, who is hearing these things for the first time or for whom they seem to be real for the first time this morning. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would draw them to yourself. And I pray for every single one of us that we might know the safety and comfort of being within your fold. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.